You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo.
Hi, everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 2, Episode 19 of Cawley's Call. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for the feedback on last week. And I'm actually going to start there as well, Stuart, because we had a little bit of a chat about Jason Byrne and Glenn Crowe, and the feedback was plentiful. Yeah. So nobody could separate them.
So we decided to go with Jason Crowe.
That'll do for me. Glenn Byrne and Jason Crowe. Couldn't split them. I had fellas who played alongside them, all the usual kind of fans, yeah, different people, and more or less 50-50. 50-50 were for Jason, 50 were for Crowe. You know what I kind of thought at the end of it? Let's just leave it there. Two of them were brilliant.
Yeah, two of them are brilliant, yeah. You can't split them.
No. So we leave it at that.
Different attributes. Yeah, leave them at that. Let's move on to
holidays.
Holidays, yeah.
You're not happy with me being on holidays. Stuart, I haven't been on holiday in 2 years.
I don't care. I haven't been on holiday in fucking 3 years, right? And then even then, it wasn't even a fucking holiday.
Tell the people what I look like right now.
You look like
a bronze Adonis.
You look like Ronaldo. All you need is two earrings.
The
now.
Fat
two,
Ronaldo.
Two studded earrings in each ear. And
you can't see me belly behind this desk. Yeah, it's the fat Ronaldo.
Do that stupid thing he does when he scores, when he puts his arms out.
How professional I am is that I came. I broke up my holiday to come in and see you today to do this. I'm going straight back on holidays again.
You've come back from Sligo.
Yeah.
Okay. Where you've been drinking many, many pints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on my holidays.
Ginai, is it? Would you call it that?
No.
Ginai, is that not the plural of Guinness? It's not Guinnesses.
Yeah.
Guinnesses.
Guinnesses.
Ginai.
Ginai. As a famous manager we once had.
Yeah, give us.
The Guinnesses.
Say no more about that.
No, I don't know what you call it, but I'm having a ball of a time, yeah. And I'm going finishing here, and I'm going straight back down to have more of a ball of a time.
Yeah, well, I've been working all day, okay? Yeah. I'm going to go home, I'm going to fucking paint my house, right? To sand the walls down, fill it in, sand it again, fill it in, sand it again, paint it, fill it in, sand it again, get up, go to work.
Are you an angry painter?
I'm painting my hole at the moment. Everything's going wrong. The fucking car has gone to shit as well.
Really? Come on, Stuart.
Why doesn't somebody ring me up like they used to years ago and say, do you want a car?
Okay, well, we're putting it out there. Callie's calling listeners.
Ring me up and give me a car, please.
Surely we have a contact with someone either working in a garage, wants to help, wants to support
us. Richie Sadler, he sells Volkswagens on Instagram. What are you giving him a fucking car for?
Exactly. Why are you giving
him a car? Give me a car. I'll say, this is a fucking grey car.
A real car.
His
cars are fake. It's the fucking ones you have to charge up and all. That's not even a real car.
Come on, you can plug them into your mobile phone and it'll charge the car up.
Okay, cheer up, Stu. Come on holidays with me after this, come on.
Or BMW should get on to us and we'll do their new ad. You know, have you heard the new ad for BMW?
No.
Petrol, electric. The new BMW, Petreklik.
You don't need to go home painting, you need to go for a pint.
Would you buy a BMW Petreklik?
No, I don't like them Petreklik, whatever you call them. Sounds like a song, you're going to write a song about it.
Petreklik.
Okay, the football. We had a busy week, Stu. I was part of the holiday, there was a little bit of football, obviously, so I was down home and the Sligo Rovers match I went to. We'll get into it in a few minutes, but I have to start with Shamrock Rovers fans. They'll definitely think I'm gone mad when I come out with this one. I'm going to apologise to them.
Yeah, okay, go on.
I had them.
What did you say in the first place?
I had them completely written off here last week after I watched the first leg against Slovan. To be fair, you were saying I'd give them a chance.
They needed to win the game. That's what when they did.
And they did win the game.
And they probably should have won.
Probably the best they've played all season. Yeah. We've been critical of not reaching the level that they did last year. Last week, they reached that level. They were absolutely brilliant, Stu. Yeah. And Richie scored a cracker, Richie Towell, to put them 2-0 up. And you're thinking, it's on. And they were playing ever so well. And then Vladimir Weiss, with a little bit of moment of quality that he has, just caught them at the end. And And I go
is
back.
Is there a foul in the build-up? Is there a foul?
Well, Stephen Bradley was very annoyed and felt there was a foul.
I think Lopez was done, wasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think we'd have lost it. But before I get to that, so I apologise. I had completely written them off. Shouldn't have done that. They were brilliant last week. And it's a pity for the league as well, because it would have been great had they gone through. But they lost it in the first leg, Stu. That first game, the goals they gave away that night. And I go back to the Manus, the one, the ball bounces in front of him. Now, I know he saved the penalty at the end, but even the second one to concede it just after half time was such a sloppy goal, particularly in Europe. Like, and I know people say you go up a level and all that kind of stuff, but you need to be even more on your guard in terms of if a team's going to beat you, let them beat you. Don't be giving them goals.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer, and this is just true experience, and I don't know what it's like now, but whenever we played, I can't see how it's changed much. You know, when you play European teams, especially, you know, the higher quality teams, they're a bit cocky. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like they kind of smell themselves once the draw comes out, and they, you know, they see a team from Ireland and they say, yeah, you know, we'll do these and
but
whatever accent they put on, like, you know.
Rather than them being cocky, but is that more that they're just looking down their nose at us?
I think they're naturally arrogant. You know, when normally when you go to Europe, the Eastern European teams, you know, look, they're confident. They're confident lads. They're confident. You know, that's just the way they naturally are, you know. And I think, for me anyway, that's a mind game you have to expose, you know. You have to, you have to make them know you're not, that you're...
Stand up to them.
That, exactly. You have to stand up to them in a way and really put it in their face, like, you know. Because if you don't, they sense it. You know, if you're not confident or you don't have a bit of a swagger about you and, you know, carry yourself well, and that's as a team, like, you know, and it's the little things. They notice it, you know what I mean? And they'll walk all over you. And I think that might have happened in the away leg for Rovers. Although they've missed the penalty, that could have been 3-0 coming back here. They probably thinking, no, we have this in the bag. Like, and then what happens?
To give them a surprise last
Rovers
week.
Give them a game. They put it up to them. The crowd, I was looking at the goals. There was a proper atmosphere on the ground. They get the first goal, Rovers. And all of a sudden, these guys shit themselves, like, you know. And
it's very difficult, isn't it? When you don't start properly like that, if you go in with that mindset, which you're suggesting that they probably did, and the team then is up for the fight and to take you on, it's very hard to switch.
You're on
the back foot then.
Yeah, completely. Like, I mean, exactly. Like, so... You know, in the away game, if you don't go there and you stand up to them and you put it in their face and you get involved in the off the ball stuff. You don't have to be dirty, but get in their face and let them know, like, you know, it's a huge thing. But if they sense that these aren't up for you, these aren't that, you know, they'll walk all over you, because, and so they thrive on that confidence. Whereas, you know, if you put them under a bit of pressure and stand up to whatever, they go the other way, you know.
The two examples I can think of where we were involved, do you remember the fella, I think he was the number 8 with Hadjik Split, with a bit of a smeg, and
the skipper, was it long hair?
Yeah, I remember him, and he was complete. He was so disrespectful.
Yeah, did he wear a headband? No, I'm getting confused, but yeah, you're right.
That's Roger Federer.
But oh yeah, I remember that time when I went to Wimbledon.
Do you remember the fella? You were going hammer and tongs with him. I'm sure there was he was fighting with 3 or 4, you know, and particularly in the first leg, but he let all his frustration out in Talca Park when we beat them.
Oh yeah, but their heads were gone.
That's the example I'm using. We stood up to the fight over there, and that was,
we done them over there, Al.
Would you think, of all the years that we've played, that was the most hostile atmosphere? Do you remember going into the ground before the match? And it was electric.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anyone. Lucky enough, we had done a good preparation on the game plan, knew what we were about, because I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear the bench. I couldn't hear, like, I mean, I couldn't hear 10, 15 yards away, you know, and it was definitely the most hostile
I've
ever played in.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
And then when Fitzy scored, you know, they battered us for about 25 minutes.
A good 25
they
minutes.
Ran it. They ran. So, you know, that's where I said, that's where the game plan thing comes in and the experience comes into play, because not only were we getting battered for about 20-25 minutes, the crowd were just, I couldn't hear anything at all. So we couldn't get ourselves set. Like, but we didn't need it, because we just knew how to kind of shut up shop and contain it. And even though we didn't necessarily contain it because they scored, but you'll actually forget this. Do you not remember the header I had the last minute before the first half, before half time? No. I had a great chance of a header from a corner, and I stupidly took the decision to head the ball away from where the ball had come from. I tried to nick it to the far part, a bit like Keane's header against Juventus. Remember the glancer?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done it. I should have met a head on, and I should have headed the back towards where it came. And I remember I just little flick, and I said, that's gone in the top corner. It's goal. And I went wide, and I remember going, fuck. No, that's the chance we needed. Like, you know,
that was some game. That was unreal.
Yeah, but
Moore's
that was
his goal at the end.
But then we came out second half, and they put us under a bit of pressure, and then Moorsy. Anyone out there, have a look back at Alan Moore on YouTube, right back to his Middlesbrough days. Jesus, Al,
brilliant.
He was fucking great. He was the Irish Ryan Giggs, like, you know. Yeah. He was unbelievable. Just
well, even that, like, how long was he with us? 2 years, 18 months, 2 years.
He was with us for would have been longer, only for what happened in 06, but yeah, just over 2 years. Yeah,
like he
yeah.
had such an impact. He did.
And he was as quiet as mouse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. But he had such a particularly in them games, it was always the biggest games he showed up in.
Alan had it, like, you know. He had that big game mentality, had that quality, and he great composure and ability to create a chance. But do you know what? Do you know what I loved about him?
He was dirty.
He was a dirty fucker.
He was a dirty bastard.
Do you remember the game in Lansdowne? He done the keeper. He should have went.
Elbow.
First half. No, studs up. It was a ball over the top, and he's running it down with the keeper, 50-50. And the keeper just comes out to kind of grab it with his stomach, you know, and Alan's just absolutely just put his studs right through his stomach.
And you'd never think
to look
at him.
Down for 5 minutes. Yeah. Alan said, he's gone. He's fucking gone.
We must give him a ring, actually, see how he's getting on.
Yeah, he was great.
Okay, so yeah, so, and that's a fair point, Hugh, and that's what I'm going back to in terms of the first leg. That's where they lost it, didn't they? And it's a good point to make, but not maybe. Because last week when they took the game to them and stood up to them, as you said, they probably came over smelling themselves, thinking the tie is over. We were 2-0 up. We beat them easy enough in the first leg. We'll just stroll around. Shamrock Rovers played to the level they can, and they were just, that's what caught them out the first leg. So they got a great draw today. They've dropped down, obviously, into the third round of the Conference League. And the draw was made earlier on. So they'll face the winner of KF Tueta from Albania and Inter Club de Scaldes from Andorra. People might remember them, Dundalk. It was Dundalk that beat them, wasn't it? Yeah. In next month's third round of the Europa Conference League. So they've a great opportunity now, Stu.
But this Conference League thing, even though it's a shit name, right? I mean, what? I mean, like, it's the first year, so we don't know much about it. Like, you know, but if they can get into that group stage, Tottenham are involved, right? You got some serious. You could have some serious
in the groups, but the idea was brought in the first place, and this is, and we're going to get to the Europa League stuff. It's given our clubs now such a chance to, and I tell you why, right? Because when you think of the clubs we would have had to play maybe in the first round, or if we're lucky to get through with, and the second round, you're up against it, like, for the money that was on offer. Now you're playing teams of a similar ability, if not like we're better than, for the same money. Yeah. Like Sligo Rovers played that team. I'm going to get to it because it's annoying me. But even we had Stevie on speaking about Starna, and both battered him 3-0 in the Aviva. And it was a brilliant night. 6,000. Spoke to a good few people that were in at the game. Eric, obviously, who we had on, messaged me, said it was just unbelievable. Even though it was 6,000, it felt like 60,000.
Didn't message me. Was something wrong there?
I don't know. He's, you know.
I know. Not that chat with him.
But yeah, so they win 3-0, Stu. And I think that's like the beauty of this competition now is the money that they can make. Like Sligo Rovers in a one-off game against that FH the other night, and I was at it, right? They'll be kicking themselves. They played ever so well in the first half. They created about two gilt-edged chances and three or four maybe half chances. But the two clear-cut chances with Romeo Parks missed a sitter with his left foot, snatched at it with an unbelievable chance. And then he had a header. And rather than actually go in and convincingly head it and score, he kind of half went for it and hit his shoulder. And
it's just that bit of composure and a bit of quality at the time when you need it, didn't it? And I know it's fractions at that level, but, like, you know.
Then they concede a soft free kick. Now, to be fair, all the lads, there was a couple of lads that were over the far side, and even the players reacted to it. And you can nearly always tell by the players' reaction, a soft, soft free kick, never a free. But funny enough, right, Sligo Rovers must have had 13 corners in the first half. And every ball that went into the box, they cleared everything. They were big, powerful Icelandic men. Cleared everything. Soon as they got the free, actually, Dan McDonald was sitting in front of me, Paul O'Hare, your friend. Paul was in front of us, and I says to the lads, I said, they're going to score here because of how well they were clearing all the set pieces. I knew they would have been dangerous. Ball comes in, half cleared, drops to Stevie, our friend, and he buried it. And you're thinking, how the how are Sligo Rovers behind here? Like, this is, they battered them for, and then within half time, and even I'm speaking to lads at half time, and I'm saying to myself, from what I've seen in the first half, I still think Sligo Rovers are going to go through here. Like, we'll create plenty of chances in the second half and they'll come through. I wouldn't be panicking just yet. Come out in the second half, Regan Donnellan just completely switching off, ball over the top, doesn't realise the right winger is on the outside of him. Soon as the outside right kind of just nips in front of him, Regan panics and pulls him back, and the ball's going out of play, penalty. Game over. Like, that's 3-0 at that stage.
Yeah, it's a psychology thing, Al, for me anyway, at least. You know, you have to be honest with yourself in games. You have to be able to read games as they're happening, you know, and realize, you know, where the dangers are, and you know, in other words, if you're not playing well, or you're not creating enough opportunities, you have to kind of realize that and look to change it in the game. Whereas, you're telling me from the game, I didn't see the game, like, you know, that it looks like Sligo had the better of it, and maybe got lulled into that false sense of security of thinking, oh, it's coming. Well, like, oh, it's coming, really. Mm. Now we're battering these, like, whatever. Like, but on the other side of it, what's the name of it?
FH
were obviously defending the set pieces, looked comfortable, and
they did defend them well,
and defended them well. And then that's where the threat is, like, you know, whereas at half time you need to be coming and saying, no, we need to turn the screw here a little bit, you know, or it's all too predictable, set pieces, they're clear and everything, need to sort of change it up, whatever the case may be. And it's a psychology thing, like, you know, when even though FH may have been under a cosh a little bit, they probably felt comfortable in their own skin and said, you know, we're waiting home here, let's contain them, we have the goal, we just need to maybe nick one on the break, which is ultimately what happened.
Like, yeah, and then obviously they got the sloppy penalty. But even at that, so they're two down on the night, three on aggregate, no away goal now, but your substitutions come, right? And Johnny Kenny didn't start the game, but everyone's calling out for Johnny to come on. He came on, and he would have ran them ragged. He came on then, just after the second half, made an impact. But then Lane Buckley made substitutions with 25 minutes to go, and I still can't work them out, Shoe. It was mind-boggling, right? He brought Colm Horgan on, a right full at right wing back. He moved the centre half, Shane Blaney, from centre half to left wing back, and brought on Danny Kane. And I'm thinking, there's 300 grand on offer here. There's 25 minutes to go. Even if you're three down, one goal would have changed the whole dynamic of the game. The whole thing turned into a shit show, and the whole shape of the team was gone. They were all flat as pancakes. Then Johnny Kenny did score with 8 minutes to go. They got a penalty, and that was never a penalty from what I hear. But they scored the penalty, and even with 8 minutes to go, you could see them fellas getting a bit jittery. And a ball comes into the box, then the keeper drops it. And I came out of the ground thing, and it's hard to criticise. I haven't criticised Sligo Rovers once this year because obviously they're doing really well. They're up at the top. I came out of the ground raging. With 25 minutes to go, and the substitutions were, honestly, to this day, I still don't know what was going on.
Yeah, well, look, the worry, I was worried about Sligo going into this land, and it's ultimately because of the kind of collective experience that the squad has in European football. It's a different thing altogether. It's totally different to playing in the league. It's playing a normal, natural league game. You know, you don't really know your opposition, even though you go and play them once, and you might watch them on videos and all that. You don't really know them until you've played them a couple of times, you know. So, it's experience teaches you that over time, and you always take a different approach, or I wouldn't say a more cautious approach, but you know, there's the game is, you know, it's a different level, lad. They're a higher quality player, like, you know, and it's fractions, it's inches, it's, and that costs you, like, you know, but you have to be ready for that as a team. Now, I can't legislate for the substitutions that Liam made, or for whatever.
Like, they, at that stage,
I'd say they were nervous, Al. They were nervous because they hadn't scored. They were still 1-0 down. They probably sensed then that this crowd are, you know, they're literally soaking up everything we can throw at them.
The substitutions, they came obviously in the middle of the second half when it was like as if they threw in the towel. That's my point, and saying this is over now. We're three down. We've a big game against Waterford Sunday, and he starts taking off all the attacking players. I'm like, 25 minutes to go. It was bonkers stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, that is crazy. I mean, especially when you consider what's that offer like. I mean, one goal will get you back into the game, and then it's, you know,
and who knows after that? Anything could happen, you know. Yeah. So it was a really, and I'd say, and I sensed it from the fans and people. Obviously, there was only 400 in, but there was a great atmosphere. There was a great buzz around the town before the match. It was a lovely evening, like the weather is at the moment, and everyone was so hopeful and optimistic going into the game, and for the first time I sensed all the fans and people coming out. They were really disappointed, and not disappointed with the fact that as if the players let them down or anything, just from the point of view of almost going out in a whimper in the second half, and you're kind of thinking what was on offer, and just a major missed opportunity.
Yeah, and it's a problem with them, not just obviously for the obvious thing is that they've gone out of Europe now, and the opportunity to get like you said, a good wad of cash, so it's 300 grand or 250,000, that's gone when you're building a new stadium. That would go a hell of a long way. But the worry would be now the effect it's actually had on the team and the town and just the overall conference, because they've ultimately gone and
got beaten by Waterford.
On Sunday, yeah, by Waterford, which is that's a big blow to them.
It's been a bad week for all the plaudits. Obviously,
it's a bad time for it as well, Ali, because you only ever get one lull in a season, and you're better off having that lull in April or May and getting over. And I think Sligo have done that. They've had a bit of a lull, a couple of poor weeks back in. I'm trying to think, maybe
it was around the end of April,
middle of April, yeah, which they've recovered from. But you can't have one now. Mm. Don't get away with it, you know, and you'll be in trouble if you.
Because it's so important. Like, that would have given them such, as you says. To be fair, you flagged it up even before they played the first leg, that because they were an inexperienced squad, that now obviously a lot of young lads, it would have been a brilliant taste for them, even just that couple of games now tasted European football. So it's so important that they get back there. I think the title challenge, I never had them down as title challengers anyway. They're obviously up there. The loss yesterday, we'll come to the league games, but it's just so important. And I would have said, I would have taken at the start of the year, if someone said to me, look, they'll finish third, qualify for Europe again and go and build on it again, I would have snapped your hand off for that.
Yeah, I mean, but that was always our mentality when it came to Europe. We always wondered, you know, we always said it, like, you know, every year, like the Champions League, whatever, you can't get back and you have to win the league to get in the Champions League. So in other words, whenever you got knocked out of the Champions League, always remember saying we need to go win this league now, because we want to be back here again, like, you know. And that was always thinking ahead, Europe, winning leagues, whatever the case may be. So with Sligo, and the other thing as well, I always felt like you had to get beyond the first leg, the first round, just to really get your mojo going in Europe. Like, and it was almost like you were able to go, yeah, you know, we can do this now, like, you know. And the fact that Sligo have gone out, and then they're looking at Bowes progressing against similar opposition, and convincingly as well, and it just knocks, it dents your confidence, knocks everybody back a couple of strides. So difficult job there now for Liam to really pick them up. I know they've got the cup this weekend, but they need to get back on the horse quick, you know.
So yeah, that takes us to Bowes, Stu, and as you say, a really convincing win. They played Stranahan, looked like an absolutely fantastic night. Saw the highlights, saw the goals, loads of pictures. Obviously, the weather, as I said, it was unreal in Dublin. And yeah, Bowes had their moment in the sun, pardon the pun, but they did, and it was absolutely brilliant. And I was thinking about this after, right, because I'm mad about him, as you know, and he was outstanding on the night, and there was a lot of talk about him on social media and different places afterwards. And that's the lad, Dawson Devoy, who we've mentioned a lot, and ever since I saw him, even going back to last year, I think he's an outstanding talent. But I was thinking about it afterwards on that stage. Okay, so he plays in the Aviva European game. Now, I know Stjarnan, when I give you the point I'm going to make, I know Stjarnan aren't at the level of the opposition that the examples I'm going to give. Yeah, but it's still, it's like as if it's like as if these players have their, how can I say it, it's like this is the moment where they announce themselves. So Wezo against Deportivo, yeah, on that stage, European game, big game, top quality opposition, runs amok. Everyone's takes note. Wes Hoolan, everyone. I was thinking back afterwards, Keith Faye played a game against Hertha Berlin, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I remember watching the game, and Keith was outstanding in the game, and it was like as if, like, we all knew him around the league and different things, but it's like people from the outside, and all of a sudden you think, something happening here, like this fella will go on and do well. It just felt to me like Dawson Devoy had one of them games.
Yeah, okay, I'll take the point about him raising his game in the, you know, the higher profile in the, you know, in the Aviva, crowd back in, absolutely. and he good players always step up in the big games, like, you know, that's a big game for them. Can't compare it now to cannot compare it. You're talking about Wes.
No, I'm not comparing. Yeah, I'm not comparing it in, like, the same light as those boys. I just think it was almost as if.
But it's a good point. It's a good point, like, you know. But so let's argue it outright. You think to the Deportivo game, right? Mm. It was 26,000-27,000. It was full. You couldn't get any more in. They tried to get seats behind it in the south terrace. Couldn't get them in. We're toward qualifying round of the. To get into the group stage of the Champions League, and we're playing against the team that went to the semi-finals 4 months prior.
No, I'm not comparing.
I couldn't give a fucking flying fuck about any of
I'm
this.
I'm not comparing the level of opposition, because obviously starting.
No, I get that.
I'm making it was like the performance was similar to the like of one. Here I am, let's go type thing.
So I totally take that point, right? That, you know, if Dawson Devoy is to or anybody for that matter is to kind of. Progress to the level we hope, right? We love to see players go from, you know, go through the development stages from, you know, when you first see them as a kid, you go, that kid's got something, doesn't he?
No, I'm not saying for 1 second he's as good as Wesley.
No, hear me out. No,
but in time, I think he
I'm articulating the point, though, because you do make a good point, right? But you know, we see them from an early stage, maybe come out of school, but this kid's got something, doesn't he? Then he might do something special in a particular game. He goes. You know, he's getting there, like, you know, and then you might have a setback and you can, oh, well, look, he needs to pick himself up. He had a flat start to the season, injuries, whatever the case may be. But ultimately, yeah, the players that really end up going on do at some stage do it on the big stage. And this is the big stage. I mean, the biggest stage is always the next one, whenever, and this is it for him, like, you know, so he's stepped up. Big crowd back in, and it felt like there was a lot more than 6,000 in there. There was a proper atmosphere doing it in the Aviva, so that tells you the kid realizes, like, he can do it at a higher level.
And he did it in the first leg as well over there. He was their best player.
He can do it at a higher level. And then the thing is, just keep pushing him, and that's the I suppose that's part of any development of any player or any team, is that when they keep coming up against a higher, better opposition, that they step up to it. The Bowers team did it, in fairness, because
it's a fair little kind of chat, isn't it? Because, as I say, the point I was thinking about afterwards, and because I'm mad about the young fella, right? I think he's an outstanding player. From what I'm hearing back, clever boy, intelligent young lad. Obviously, he probably has a lot of self awareness in terms of there's probably a lot of talk and chatter about him, but he's going about his business in the right way. And I just felt, looking at the game the other night and the performance he put on, that it just brought me back to a couple of the lads that have those standout games where you're thinking, because he's going to leave the league, he's going to move on, whether it's the end of this year or next year, there'll be plenty circulating, he's going to leave, and good luck to the kid. But it was like as if one of those nights where this could be the night where people, because it was probably more than League of Ireland lads sat up and took note of his performance. Like, he was outstanding on the night. Like.
Yeah. I take that point. And he's an excellent player, an excellent young player. I think he can really, I certainly hope it doesn't go anywhere now, and I think he can really benefit from this year. Absolutely. Like, you know.
And I think Keith Long deserves a bit of credit as well, because when he first broke on the scene, now I know he was younger and whatever, and he's still very young, but they played him in that kind of number 10 role. This year they've given him a lot more responsibility and dropped him back to a deeper role in midfield, Stu. And he seems to be, as you says, about responding to that, the next challenge, the bigger challenge, whatever. He's taken it all in a stride and taken more responsibility on himself in that role as well. Because there would have been plenty might have looked and thought, not sure about him in that midfield area, keep him as a bit of a luxury or whatever. But the three they're playing in there now is Buckley, who's been brilliant for them as well. And you know what you're going to get out of Bucko, and he probably does a lot of his work as well. But it's not like he's gone back there and been a luxury. He's gone back, he does his work as well, then he gets on the ball and plays, and he has Ross Tierney ahead of him.
Yeah, and he likes to move forward with the ball as well, doesn't he? I mean, that's quite a rarity in midfield, that you get somebody running with the ball. Like, you know, I mean, you mentioned Keith Fahey, he used to be brilliant at it. And then you look back to, like, the likes of a Gascoigne or whatever. Very rare you can get a midfielder from that central area that can pick it up deep and run.
Going at you.
And he likes to do that as well, like, you know. And I think maybe Keith looked at it and said, you know what, the higher you start him up, it's more of a hindrance to him, because he likes to get torn and get run at you. So maybe dropping him back that 10 or 15 yards might have benefited him. I tell you what it does bring up, and I always bring this point up, it just showcases that when we play against higher quality teams, we can always step up. Like, you know, there is that quality in all our teams here, not just in Bowes or Rovers, whatever the case may be. And that's the conundrum that we face. Like, you know, in order for our league to progress and develop and be a better quality of of football, it needs to, you know, you have to drag it up. There has to be, if we could get exposure to that on a much more regular basis, it will bring the standard up. You know, we just,
I always found out when we played.
Absolutely.
I loved the European games.
And you'd
rise up to it. But as you says, we need that every week.
Need it every week. And for,
or it shouldn't take the European games to be, for us even to be believing that.
Yeah. It's every, in every season, there's always two or three basket cases is a fucking bad phrase, but you know, there's always two or three that will lower you down, and we need to get rid of that. Like, you know, that's part of the problem. Is, I mean, then, you know, it's not an 18 team league. It's not, you know, it's a 10 team league. Like, you know, and so you can't carry two or three teams. Yeah. You can't afford that. Yeah. You need high standards every week. But that's the goal anyway, and we'll get there at some stage.
So yeah, I suppose it was a great night for them, obviously, to move on. The games, they're into the second round and they're playing this week against Dudelange. You'd fancy them as well if they come through that. They have a tougher game against Pauk from Greece, but hopefully, yeah, they can get through Dudelange. Obviously Dundalk as well. I'm not going to go too much into the Dundalk thing. It's a good win, but they beat Newtown, who they should be beating, 5-0 on aggregate. They have a tougher game now against the Estonian team, Levadia Tallinn. And again, they start out those, get the first leg and the second leg this Thursday. So, but good luck to them as well.
Yeah, but just on the Dundalk thing, like, you know, because in fairness, it's been a bit of a shambles for them the first half of the season. All of a sudden, you've got, you know, European. They could certainly go a couple of rounds in Europe, and then when you look at the table, league table, they're all, you know, they're 4 points off fourth, which is just, you know, they're 4 points off four. So just, you know, a sudden change, and there's a bit to go. Well, you know, there's a bit to go, and for all the disappointment and, I know the shit stuff that's been coming out of the club. I mean, they could, they certainly have an opportunity to save their season.
Mm.
Which
is all
good, relative,
which
is positive. We'll see how it goes. But you know, we've given them a bit of stick, so worth mentioning that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Won't take much of them turning around.
Absolutely. The other thing as well, I should mention about the Bowes thing just announced also, is the game is going to be in the Aviva against you, the second leg, next week, Thursday the 26th.
Ah, for Jesus, yeah.
Brilliant.
6,000 again.
You're coming.
I'm going to go to that one. 6,000 again.
I think it's 6,000 again, yeah. So that'll be great, yeah.
I actually made this point before, and I think there's something in this, right? What if you could do some sort of a series or not exhibition, sorry, you know, I'm thinking out loud here, but wouldn't it be great if we could get...
I
wrote about it as well, right? But let's bang it out here, because, you know, people are listening. Like, you know, wouldn't it be great to get some league games in the Aviva, right? Get full houses, sell the shit out of it a year before it happens, or whatever the case may be, and let the clubs take them.
So the rugby league in England, right?
Yeah.
Do a magic weekend, it's called.
Magic weekend, perfect.
So they'll hold out, I think it's the different grounds, but say in the Etihad, Manchester, or Old Trafford, or whatever. But they'll say, I think there's, say, 8 or 10 teams in that league. The rugby league stuff. They'll have 5 matches over a weekend, or 6 matches, but almost like local derbies. So you could have Bowes Rovers, Pats, Shelburne, say they were in, Sligo Finn Harps or Sligo Derry, whoever you want, and make 6 games or whatever, play it out and pack the place out, and have a game Saturday at 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock,
yeah,
and whatever, 8 o'clock,
yeah,
and then do the same on the Sunday.
And call it the fucking deadly weekend. What do you think of that, Paul?
Fair enough. Yeah, but people, let us know what you think of the fucking deadly weekend.
The fucking deadly weekend. And look, you know, but all joking aside, like, I mean, why not? Why can't we? Why can't we have it? Like, showcase the game, get it live on television. You know, give it a reel. We've seen what the FAI Cup final has done. It's a great,
brilliant,
great game, great day, right? It's once a year.
I know,
and it's in November. You know, so it's. You know, if you could get something during the summer.
Could you imagine this weekend now? Like, everybody, all the different fans and clubs around Balls Bridge area, all getting ready for the gate. The whole weekend, like, it would be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable. Fucking deadly.
Fucking deadly weekend. Okay, we'll let come back to us on that one, people, for Stewie. So yeah, that's the European scene, Stu. I think we've covered it all there. So there are the games coming up on Thursday. As I said, Dundalk are playing Levadia, Bowes are playing Doodle Ange, so we really wish them well. Shamrock Rovers then are into the third round, which will be next week, and they'll play the winners of the Albanian team or Inter Salades or whatever. So the league obviously was back over the weekend, Stu, and it was games Friday, Saturday, Sunday all over the weekend because of the European games. So Pats had a really good win, comfortable enough. I think Drogheda were kind of well in it in the first half, but Pats' quality showed in the second half, and Forrester scored again. 2-0, good win. They're in the hunt, they're in the race, they're staying in it, Stu. As you said last week, when Rovers are involved in maybe European games, it's important the Pats are doing their business themselves.
Yeah, I think psychologically as well, they just need to keep them, to keep their focus there. Like, you know, we were saying last week that there might be the odd game that come up and they mightn't be able to play it because the likes of a Bowes or Rovers are in Europe, and it's like, oh, we're gone now. But you just need to keep the mind ticking over and get to August, get prepared for that business end of the season, which is September. You have to be in the mix come September, you know. It's and it can all very quickly, you know, two games, two weeks in a row, two losses, 6 points gone, you're over. You know that way. Yeah, so you got to keep in the mix till September. So that was a good win for them, in fairness. Just keeps them propped up nicely where they need to be.
Derry, the same night, Derry City went 2-0 up against Shamrock Rovers, Stu, and I'm thinking, here we go. And the worry I had, and I still have it now after it, obviously the scoreline and the final result, Shamrock Rovers up to now haven't hit the heights that we know they can hit, or what the squad that they have should be hitting. And they've been stuttery enough in the games, as we know, and they're giving everybody else a chance. Obviously Sligo and Pats being those teams, and we're making the argument that they should be running away with it, really, when you look at the budget that they have, when there's no Dundalk or Bowes really in it. Even though I still give Bowes a little bit of a squeak, but you know the point I'm making, that Pats and Sligo are surprise challengers this year. So the worry I had then was, after they played so well last week, probably the best they've played against Bratislava, they were brilliant in that, and particularly in that second half, and obviously Richie scores a screamer, I'm thinking this could kickstart them now for the rest of the season. Then I'm looking, right, and they go 2-0 down against Derry. Yeah. But they bounce back in emphatic fashion and they score four goals. Richie scores again. That's his third game and he scored two goals.
Yeah,
already.
Look, there's no doubt about it. Like, I kind of felt like this when, I know the deal was done last December, wasn't it? Maybe, or, you know, it was done a long time ago. Yeah. Like, and I always felt it was the ace up the sleeve for Rovers. But I'm really beginning to feel that's gonna be the catalyst for Rovers. Like, you know, in there, when it comes to the league, I mean, that's the difference. You know, they're in need of something in the league. All right, you know, the fact that they're not necessarily pushing on to where you'd like them to be, but they've been kind of going head to head with Pats and Sligo. You know, getting a lot of late winners. I mean, it must have been about 5 or 6 games where
getting out of jail in games.
Kind of getting out of jail in some. Yeah, maybe in others they might have deserved it, but you would be worried that I was always worried anyway that they weren't really kind of kicking on. But now with Richie coming in, and you know, his goal against his goal on the other night was
against Bratislava, unbelievable.
Bratislava, the quality strike. It was, you know, we saw the Rovers have a great camera angle from behind the goal. That was a hell of a strike, and that was a great goal, and huge reaction from the crowd. I agree with you. You think they might kick on, might go up to it, might go up to Derry with a bit of a swagger. I don't like to see teams do that, but you need, I mean, you know, swagger's a wrong word, but you need them to be confident. You need your league champions to be confident, you know. So to go 2-0 down,
There was a little bit of confusion at the start because there was a COVID case. And
with member staff, wasn't it?
But Sean Gannon then was deemed a close contact, and I think Sean was due to play, then obviously couldn't play, so there was a little bit of confusion in that regard. Maybe that affected him, I don't know.
That would affect you, I think, if it was last
he
minute.
Took him out at last minute.
I think if it's last minute, you got to take that. You know, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
You have to take that on its merit. I mean, that would certainly affect you. The fact that, look, the be all and end all of it is this: they responded to going down 2-0, and as league champions do, they turned it around. It's simple as that. And that'll only bolster their confidence, and just give them a little reminder that they're not there yet, because there's no doubt they'll be looking at the going 2-0 down and say, you know, this needs to stop, and the late equaliser against the late goal against Bratislava that ultimately cost them going through. Again, I'm sure they're all little reminders that they need to get that bit right, which I think they will, to be quite honest. And they're still the ones to beat, Al.
Yeah, they're still the ones to beat. Yeah,
simple as
yeah.
that.
And that's fair, yeah. And they should be as well, as you said, with the resources that they have. Dundalk beat Finn Harps 1-0. Stu McMillan scored again. He's having a great wee run of it, David, and we love David on the show here. But Finn Harps are in free fall. I think that's the last 8 games. They've lost 6, drawn 2.
Yeah.
Waterford breathing down their necks now.
Yeah.
When you think of the good start that Finn Harps had at the start of the year, the early part of the season, they were up near 3rd, 4th in the table. As I say, they're down. Waterford breathing down their necks now. And they're in a bit of bother, Finn Harps.
They're in a bit of bother, yeah. I felt when I saw Finn Harps early on in the season, and I know they were banging in goals and they were getting a hell of a start, I wasn't too pleased with maybe one or two players that I saw. I thought they weren't fit enough for me. When I look back to last year with the situation with Shells as well, wasn't happy with a couple of players there. It looked like they weren't fit, and ultimately it done them in the end. And that's my worry with Finn Harps. Yeah, unfortunately, I think you just can't have that. You can't have players in the team that aren't at the level they need to be at. It just gets through the team, like, you know. Ultimately, you know, it, and if you're going well at the start, it can paper over the cracks. But when the real questions get asked, you know, and they're in a free fall. They're in an absolute free fall.
They're being asked now, because as we mentioned, Waterford, who were playing on the Sunday against Sligo Rovers, and up before that, I always thought this was going to be difficult because they picked up 10 points in their last 18, which is a hell of a return, really, when you think they'd picked up only 6 points from the previous 42. So now I watched a good bit of it, and Sligo Rovers had enough chances to win the game. Waterford actually weren't that good. Sligo Rovers had enough chances to win the game, but ultimately they didn't win the game. Keane Kavanagh scores an absolute cracker, and it's another 3 points on the board for Waterford, and they're breathing down the neck of Finn Harps.
Well, the reality is there, when the change of management comes in, it's only one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to get a bounce out of it, or they're going to go the other way. But since Portal's gone in there, they've responded to him, and they look difficult to beat now.
And they've brought in 3 or 4 signings last week as well.
Look difficult
players,
to beat,
experienced players.
Winning games, all of a sudden, that's a hell of a turnaround.
Yeah.
You know, a couple more wins for them, and they're
out of the mess.
Well, they're out of the mess, yeah, and they're motoring. So, you know, momentum is a huge thing in the game. Unfortunately, Longford just looks to be they certainly be the ones that are going to be down there. Although when you look at the game against Bowes, although it was a completely different rejigged Bowes, they certainly put their best foot forward. Longford probably unfortunate not maybe to come out of that game with a win.
So that's the game I wanted to end on this week. Obviously, I know it was only yesterday as well, but you mentioned Longford, dear Stu. They took the lead. Robbie Manley against Bowes, who made 8 changes, obviously coming off the back of the European game, with a view to this week, they're playing again in Europe, so maybe Keith. And to be fair, he does have the squad to make changes. He mentioned that in the after-match interview as well on Thursday night. But, and they should be beating Longford, but to be fair to Longford, as I say, they went 1-0 up. And in the last, I think it's the last 6 games, they've had 3, they just can't get that elusive win. They've only had 1 win all year. I think it's 3 draws now in the last 6 as well. So they've had a few draws in recent weeks, but they just can't get that win and get over the line. But a young kid scored. We mentioned Dawson Devoy obviously earlier in the show. Here's the next one on the conveyor belt, Stu. Jamie Mullins.
Yeah.
I tweeted about it today. He got an unbelievable goal, right? And I tell you why, I spoke to people afterwards and I had heard about this kid. They brought him on in the Aviva the other night, and again, you're thinking 16.
Fuck's sake, what an experience at 16.
You know, brings him on. So they brought him on, and then they started him in the game yesterday. I heard he ran amok in the game yesterday. He was absolutely brilliant. But the goal, and you know, I love the goal, right? One of my pet hates with football, and footballers in particular, never receiving the ball on their back foot.
The touch and the turn, you're
never
talking
about. Right?
Yeah.
And he's in an area, a little pocket of where his defenders around him, but he takes it on his back foot and still and turns all in one.
Takes it with his left and turns with his right. Yeah.
Brilliant!
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was. It really was.
At 16 years of age,
he looks like he's 12. what were you doing? Were you in Leeds at 16?
I left it. I was crying down the phone to bring me home.
I was just thinking, what were you doing at 16? I was playing schoolboy at 16. I mean, what an experience for him.
And
you know,
by all accounts, the best player
on the pitch. Well, look, the reality is he got on, if you got game time in the Aviva, which is just, I mean, a huge confidence booster for him. And then to turn around and get a start, you know, a few days later, and to do what he did mm-hmm. means, you know, that's only one thing. Again, we're probably looking at another kid that can step up, you know, and react to the situation he's in, that higher standard, higher quality. So you got to manage him, you know. Hopefully he doesn't get too carried away with himself. But
they deserve
there was nothing fluky about his goal.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's not one of them where it's come off his shin or whatever. He's created the goal himself completely. Mm. You know, I think it was Keith Buckley banging a lovely pass.
Great pass. In fairness
to Keith, the pass through the lines, makes everything, because there's pace on it, and he's banged it into him. You know, one of them, have that and see what you can do. This is what they can do with it, like, you know. And the touch left, turn on the right, and then little fake, wasn't it? And then
went by a couple.
Yeah, and then he put it in the
corner.
Someone
replied to me today, shades of a young Rooney.
Yeah, true. Actually, that's true.
Shade about him,
and Wayne Rooney could sort of do exactly what he did do. You know, that take with the left, good on both feet. And
Something like, for people coaching kids or coaching people, especially we played in midfield, and especially midfielders, teach them to take the ball on the back foot. It creates so much space and time for you without receiving the ball on your right foot, then having to turn and get turned. Mm-hmm. If you're taking the ball on your left foot and you're able to pass it with your right, the difference it will make to people and players. And I go to games every week, and it's me pet hate. I'm looking at it. That and players that can't play with both feet.
Yeah, well, that got me. See, that, well, that got me out of jail. That was my career. Like, you know, I was always very good on both feet, and was always able to just kind of take left, pass right. Nothing special. No, I wasn't a special passer, but it was just like, it kept, you keep the game going. Bang, bang, move, bang, bang. You know, that kind of thing.
And
but
the amount of people, honestly, it annoys me.
Is he a midfielder? Is he
attacking midfielder? Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
Like, when you think of Dawson, Ross Tierney's having a great year. This young kid now, like, they've benefited massively from the Kevins thing as well. That's huge. Which is brilliant. And these are the young players we want to be given opportunities. I suppose that's the one plus with the league at the moment, is the amount of young talent that's coming through and that's in it. And not so much the young talent. They obviously are talented. I spoke about the young lad at Derry last week, the young boy at Pat's, Dara Burns. The boy at Derry's name is Evan McLaughlin. There's another boy, Boyce, at Derry. Not so much the young talent, because they are talented, but we still don't know how good they're going to be. But the opportunities that they're getting, Stu. And for as much as the faults of the league, and I still think there's a balance that we could have a few older heads, because that was the league I would have played in, with a few men and older heads, and then you have a few young lads. I know it's predominantly young now, but the plus side is that these young boys are getting opportunities.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think from the development point of view, there's no doubt about it that young kids can really develop here, and it prepares them for a career in the game, whether it's at the high level here, or they may go elsewhere, and good luck to them if they do.
And playing in real men's football, because there's a young fella at Sligo at the moment, came home, Shamey Keogh, and just from speaking to a couple of people, disillusioned with what's going on in terms of the under 23 league over there. It's effectively a glorified friendly league.
Yeah.
Like, nothing at stake. Fellas going through the motions, play a game, whatever, win, lose or draw, who cares, picking up their money. Whereas you've young fellas being thrown into that young fella yesterday, 3 points, a game that matters, Longford could be relegated, Bo's fighting for Europe.
You're playing in Europe, yeah.
You win, you're delighted, you lose, whatever, you know what I mean? A game that matters, that has a manager could get the sack, whatever the case may be. So many factors involved in it. Whereas Shamey apparently was basically the under 23 league over there, glorified friendlies, like.
Yeah, plus it's pressure as well. They're dealing with pressure as well, which is important. You know, you have to learn to deal with pressure playing at a high level. It's a huge part of your development. But the one thing I would love to see more of, which is we don't do well at all, like, love to see these guys get more profile. Now, maybe not the likes of a Jamie Mullins, right? Like, we've seen young Kenny at Sligo as well, and it'd be just great to see more profile around them. But maybe what I'm talking about are the players that are coming through. Maybe Dawson Savoy would be a very, very good example. You know, you'd love to see him being put out there a little bit more as an example for other kids to see. You know, the Gaelic do it very well, the rugby do it very well. They seem to be able to kind of profile the players and laugh a lot more. You see them on advertisements, you know, they have this sort of a the kind of a PR backing, or they have an aura about them, like, you know, and young kids look up to them. And I've no doubt that there's young kids looking up to these young guys, you know, but love to see more of it, you know, because I think the quality is there. The quality is definitely there. And it kind of, in a way, it comes back to the kind of conversation we've been talking about for many years now, the perception of League of Ireland, of the for me, the product is there on the pitch. You got some super young kids coming through at all the clubs. It's just the overall package has been let down by visual things, you know, and not just by visual things, also by a negative perception that people have of things. A laziness, actually. You know, I'm going to say people are lazy when it comes to League of Ireland, because fuck that, like, you know thinking it was 40 years ago or something that their dad said, you know. But no, that's not the case, you know. It's not the case. It's the total opposite.
Yeah, so Stu, that's all the Europe, the league action wrapped up. The results in the first division: Braynil, Galway nil, 3D, great result again. Tommy Barrett, I know we mentioned him a fair bit, but he's doing a great job, Tommy. They're in second place with Galway now, 1-2-1 against UCD. Athlone 1, Shelburne 3. The Shelburne bandwagon keeps rolling on. Wexford nil, Cork nil, and Cove 1, Cavantini nil. It's the FAI Cup this weekend, where all the dreams begin. And I love the it's my favourite competition. I love the FAI Cup. So, and there's a lot of non-league teams as well playing against each other, so they should come through, obviously, to maybe have a big day out themselves. But friends of the show, Bangor GG, are playing Longford Town on Saturday night. Derek Prendergast, actually a big signing for them at the start of the year. People know Derek. But they're playing Longford Town, and we wish Bangor GG well, because I would prefer Bangor GG to go into the next round than Longford
Town.
What's
the GG stand for?
Gloria Gaynor. Green Hills, Green Park. There you go. Gloria Gaynor. She could be playing as well for them. But no, we wish the lads well. As I say, they're friends of the show, so we do wish them well. And yeah, I don't mind if they beat Longford at all. So Stewie, that was episode 19. I enjoyed that. I'm going back on my holidays. You coming?
You can fuck off, back on your holidays. I'm going back to work.
Big thanks to Paul, as always. Paul Morris with us, as he is every week, doing all the technical bits and bobs and looking after us, the brains. Stewie, been a pleasure.
Thanks, Al, yeah.
Yeah, and Benetti Menswear, as always, give them a big mention, because
Benetti,
as we wouldn't be. Look, you've more Benetti on you.
I'm actually wearing Benetti here.
He's decked out in all the Benetti. So, loves the Benetti gear. So Benetti Menswear, as always, big thanks for the sponsorship. Wouldn't be here without them. So we'll speak to you again next week, folks. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.